So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 9, which I won't read it today, but it tells us that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad about that. Amen. I'm excited about that. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. But now in 1 Peter chapter 2, glory to God. I'm going to read just a little bit more than I've read before. In 1 Peter chapter 2, I'm going to begin reading it, verse 3. Well, I tell you what, you know me. I'm going to back on up to the first verse, second chapter. All right? Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. Verse 2, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Hallelujah. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Isn't he precious? Amen. Amen. Verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, you see that, to offer up what? Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Are you still here? Praise God. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Hallelujah. That's one of my favorite scriptures. We need to tell ourselves sometime, I will not be put to shame. Glory to God. Verse 7. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected, he has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. Now, I could take this message and go a whole different direction today, because this is so important, and maybe I'll preach this another time, how disobedience can get you in trouble. Yeah, cause you to stumble. So, verse 8, again, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But now look at verse 9. But you, everybody say, but me. If you're born again, say, but me. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Now, let's do something right here. Now, I just want you to find a couple of people right around you. You don't have to get up and walk around. But I just want you to look at somebody real lovingly and just tell them, say, I'm special. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Glory to God. Because of Jesus, I am not the same. Say that again. Because of Jesus, I am not ashamed. Praise God. So now we see from the Word of God that we are a royal priesthood. And matter of fact, over in the book of Revelation, we won't go there either. But it tells us that he has made us kings and priests unto God. Hallelujah. And we are special people. In another place, we're called peculiar people. Now, let me say this. Let's get this settled right now. You are concerned maybe because you don't have many friends, or maybe people talk about you or whatever and make fun of you because you love Jesus. Just go ahead and settle that issue right now. The reason they're talking about you, making fun of you or whatever, it's because you're peculiar. It's because you're special. And many of them are jealous. But guess what? They can have what we have. They can have what we have. Amen. But just don't get all bent out of shape just because someone talk about you or whatever because you're a Christian. You just keep on serving God. You just keep on walking with the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, you know, if you notice here in 1 Peter chapter 2, that as a royal priesthood, we have a job to do. We have a job to do. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to read to you verse 9 again, then we're going to move on. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Guess what? We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. The Spirit of God lives on the inside of us, and you've heard me say this many, many times. Now, in the Old Testament, they were not born again as you and I are today. You know that, right? They were God's people. Many of them were God's people, but they were not born again as you and I are today. Today, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, lives on the inside of us. But for them, he would come upon them. See, in the Old Testament times, and I'm going to bring all this together, but in the Old Testament times, that's the reason they had laws to follow, because the Spirit of God was not on the inside of them like we have today. And of course, Jesus Christ hadn't died for their sins. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians. I want you to see this before we move on, because I want to establish something here. The book of Galatians, the third chapter. I got to get there too. Now, in Galatians chapter 3, I'll just begin reading at verse 22. It says, "But the Scripture has confirmed all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe." Amen. "But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law," the schoolmaster, "kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore," listen to this, and this is the purpose for the law, "therefore the law was our tutor to do what? To bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor or schoolmaster," which was the purpose for the law. And let me read on here. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." And that includes the females too. Sons or daughters of God. Amen. Let me stop right there just for a moment. I'm going to read on. Many times when you see in Scripture where it says sons or man, whatever, many, many times it's talking about the human race, not just the male gender. Oh, you follow me? Amen. Now, I tell you, if that was not, this is the case, but if that was not the case, you females would be in big trouble. Because if that was the case in a place like where it said we're all the sons of God, if that was just for the male gender only, that means only the men would be saved. And we know that's not so. And the Scripture backs that up. Amen. Now, sometimes it's talking specifically about one gender or the other. But in this case, it covers everybody. Are you still here? Thank you, Lord Jesus. All righty. Where did I stop at? I'm about to lose my place here. 26? Okay. 22nd, right? Well, I'll pick it up at 22nd. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise of faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith, which would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Now, 26. I lost my place there. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now look at this. You ready for this? There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither what? Say what? There's neither male nor female, for you are all what? One in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Amen. So I read a little more than I was going to, but I want you to understand a little bit about the law and the purpose of the law. So the Holy Spirit would come on them, but they lived according to the law they were supposed to. And many, many times, if they disobeyed the law, they were in big trouble. Remember the woman caught in the very act of adultery? And they brought her to Jesus. And they told Jesus what the law said, that she is to be stoned to death. Somebody say, thank God for Jesus.
Thank God Jesus.
But Jesus didn't say, listen, boys, that's not what it said. He didn't say that. No, what Jesus did, he stooped down on the ground and began to write. And them fellas standing around watching him write, he was probably, I don't know whether he was writing the scripture, don't say. But I'm thinking he was probably writing some names, and beside those names, some things they were doing. And she was caught in the very act of adultery. Was she caught with one of them? But as Jesus began to write, they began to walk away because they saw themselves in what he was writing. And when they all left, Jesus asked the woman, where are your accusers? Lord, I have none. What did he tell her? Go and sin no more. In other words, he forgave her and told her to go and sin no more. You know, too many times, though, we come to Jesus and we ask for forgiveness and we want him to forgive us, but we already know in our mind when Saturday comes, we're going to do the same thing again. Repentance is a change of mind. It's an old song I used to hear in church. You know, I say this a lot. But I heard it as a child. Matter of fact, I used to hear my mother sing it around the house. The things that I used to do. Say what? So y'all have heard that song too. The places I used to go. Why? Because there's been a great change in my life. Hallelujah. Amen. Folks, that's true repentance there. Hallelujah. Are you still here? So, we know that under the new covenant then, Jesus Christ lives on the inside of us. Hallelujah. And on the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, right? They were filled with the Holy Ghost. But Jesus told them in Luke to wait for it. He told them to wait until you are endued with power from on high. Now, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. I'm going to try to get through this. I don't know about y'all, but I love the Word of God. Wow. I love the Word of God. Now, remember what Jesus told them, that they were to wait in the upper room until they were endued with power from on high. Wait before you do anything else. You are to wait on the Holy Spirit. But now in John chapter 14, beginning at verse 12, Jesus is teaching. He said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father." Okay? And make sure I'm reading the right place here. Let me back up just a minute. Okay. I was reading the wrong place. All right, John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And we'll begin reading at verse 19. "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them," what? "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Verse 21. "So Jesus said to them again," now listen, grab a hold of this, "peace to you," okay? "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he did what? He did what? He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He said, "Peace to you." And he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, this is the point I want to make to you. The risen Christ, and by the way, the risen Christ walk through walls. Notice we read there that they were all, the doors was all shut and locked because they were afraid. I don't know how you feel about this, but it excites me. When I get my new body, I'll be able to do the same thing. So will you. Walk through walls. Doesn't matter what type of walls, brick walls. It don't matter. Iron walls. We'll just be able to walk right through. So Jesus was in his new body. And he breathed, now this is the resurrected Christ, breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Some of you know this already, some of you don't. Remember, I told you that under the Old Testament, the Holy Ghost would come upon them, but the Holy Ghost was not in them. Because Jesus Christ had not come yet. Amen? You're born again when you believe on the risen Christ. Believe that he died on the cross, he was buried, he rose again. That's the risen Christ. Amen? But this time, Jesus breathed on him, on them, excuse me, and they received the Holy Spirit, because he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Guess what? At that point, are you ready for this? At that point, they were born again. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, because I've done the work now. The work is finished. I've defeated the devil. Glory to God, I've defeated the devil. I rose from the dead. Now all you have to do is receive him. Isn't that how we got saved? We received him by faith, the risen Christ. Hallelujah. We receive him by faith. See, that's the reason. Let me say this. That's the reason in before Christ, when folk died, if they died, you know, folk went to hell back then. Remember the rich man and Lazarus? The Bible say the rich man went to hell. Lazarus went into Abraham's bosom. Because you could still, even in Old Testament times, you could still go to hell for being disobedient. Matter of fact, the rich man told Abraham, tell my brothers and my kin not to come to this awful place. And Abraham's response was, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Let them hear them. Amen. We don't have Moses and the prophets today, but we have the Word of God. Amen. And we ought to hear the Word of God. Because here's the thing about it is, so you can come back and say, oh man, I spent some time in hell, but God just let me come back so I could tell you not to come to that awful place. So, some folks ain't going to believe you. Have folks to tell you right now, I don't even believe there is a hell. But just because you don't believe it, don't change a thing, does it? It don't change a thing. So, Lazarus died, the rich man died, rich man went to hell. At that time, there was hell, and there's still hell. The unrighteous, the disobedient, went to hell. During that time, there was a place called paradise. There's a place called paradise. That's where all the people that obeyed God, kept his commandments, pleased God, they went to paradise. Why would they go there? Because they weren't born again through Christ Jesus yet. Jesus Christ hadn't come. You follow me? Jesus Christ hadn't come yet. So while Jesus was in the belly of the earth, he preached the gospel to those in paradise. Now those that were in paradise at that time, guess where they are now? They're in heaven with the Lord. Because they've been born again through the resurrected Christ Jesus. Now, when we die, we don't have to go to paradise. Because the Apostle Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul said, you know, oh, I just want to go so much. I just want to go be with him, you know. And he says, but you need me. And because you need me here in the earth, I'm going to stay and I'm going to finish my course here in the earth. But he made it very plain. Once I leave my body, I'm going to be present with the Lord. How many of you have loved ones that you know loved Jesus when they left this earth? And you know they loved Jesus. Let me tell you something. You know where they are right now? They're in the presence of the Lord. You hear me? They are in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But there was a place for the righteous to go until Christ came and died on the cross. Hallelujah. I said all that to say this. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ now lives inside of us. And now we are a royal priesthood. And we have been called to praise his name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. How many of you want to do your priestly duties by blessing the Lord? That's just one of them. Ephesians chapter 5. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at verse, let me see. I'll just pick it up, verse 17, Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Amen. Do you want to know God's will? Understand what the will of the Lord is, and listen to what it says, verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine. Somebody say amen. Amen. In which is dissipation, but be what? Be what? Filled with the Spirit. Doing what? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, let me stop right there. We are called to also minister to one another, to be a blessing to one another. Amen? I say to be a blessing to one another. Singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We are to sing praises to God. We are to do it individually, and we are to do it together. You know what? When these folks, these singers and musicians are up here, they're not up here to entertain you. And I remind them of that from time to time. That's not your purpose, is to entertain. Your purpose is to minister through song and through praise and through worship to God. That's the purpose. Hallelujah. Whether it's upbeat, where you clap your hands and move your feet, or whether it's one of those moments where you just stand in the presence of God. It's all for the glory of God. It's for the glory of God, and it is to minister to the hearers. Some folk come in church many, 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 many times. And they bring with them the weight of the world. But when they hear the singers and the musicians begin to sing and begin to play, singing scriptural songs, not no doubt and unbelief. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
I don't want no doubt, no unbelief sung in this house. But what we sing is to line up with the Bible. Line up with the Word of God. So that those that are hearers can be set free. Because let me tell you something. You don't always have to wait for the preacher to lay hands on you. If you get involved in the service, get involved in the praise and worship, you can be set free before the minister ever speaks. And sometimes that's when you need, really, really need to be delivered, because sometimes folks can't listen to the Word of God because of the weight. They can't focus on what's being said because of the weight. The weight needs to be removed so they can hear the living, powerful, unchangeable Word of God. Glory to God. The anointings should be so strong in this place. Every place, really, where the name of Jesus is named. It's not, but it should be. When the singers get up to sing, whether it's one singer or 100, the devils should say, uh-oh, we got to get out of here. But I want to tell you something. It takes a special person to lead the praise and the worship. It does. Because you know the devil, he's going to come after you too. You know one of the main things you got to watch out for? It's spelled P-R-I-D-E. Pride. I can sing better than any of the other ones, so I'm the one that's all that. You know how folk do sometimes, you know, to I'm just fanning because I don't have any hair. Called pride. You've heard me say this, before. I want one of you folks that sing or play up here to stand up. Who gonna volunteer to stand up? Stand up. Oh, okay. I was waiting on somebody to stand up. All right. Tell me, nice and loud, what does that sign say right at the edge of that door?
Let God see you. Let people see God in you. And not yourself.
That's close. Yeah. That's close. All right. Anybody want to add to that? Paul, stand up loud. Okay, all right, that's pretty close too. All right, let me make sure. I know what it says. But I want to read it to you. You ready for this? Can y'all hear me? Make sure they see Jesus and not you. Make sure they see Jesus and not you. Because you have people that need a touch from God. So deliverance can come before the word. When you have that heavy burden, and you hear the word of God through song. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He knows my name. We sang that earlier. How many of you have ever felt like, feel like God's forgotten me? And you may come in feeling like that, but then all of a sudden you hear the song service began, and you hear those words, "He knows my name. He knows my name." Glory to God. See that anointing there. I just sense the anointing just glory to God. That's part of their priestly duties, is to minister to God and to the people. In our songs, we give God praise. But we also minister to the people. But too many times there's fighting and fussing about who's gonna do what. My song, your song. No, it ain't your song. It's my song. No, I don't sing that. That blah blah blah. On and on. We don't have time for that. We don't have time for that. We have a God to glorify. There's hurting people that need to hear a word of deliverance, a word of freedom. Glory to God. I remember when we were downtown, I don't know, the glory of God would come in that little building. Any of y'all remember it? The glory of God would come in that building. We'd be praising and worshiping the Lord. And, sometimes when I lay hands on the sick and pray over them, sometimes they're slain in the spirit. And not all the time, but sometimes they do. I don't push people down. Amen. Don't believe in that. Don't try. That's phony and fake. Are you listening to me? I don't believe in doing that. But I saw some times when folk would, now listen, folk would get caught up in praise and worship, wasn't that many of us, but some of them are still here with us. Nowadays, sometimes we just want to be spectators. Yeah, sometimes we just want to be spectators. We want to watch everybody else. Sometimes we try to do church like my wife do me sometime at the house. She think, oh my Lord, what's he about to say? I'll be watching something on television or listening at something on television, and I'm trying to hear what they're saying, and I'm going to take a paragraph out of Tony's book, and my sweet little wife will speak up. And she'll say, isn't that a pretty color behind them? I don't care about the color. Look at her hair. I just want to hear what the man has to say, or I want to hear what the final score is. Husbands, am I here by myself? No. Well, testify by raising of hands so I don't feel alone. Glory to God. I just want to hear the end result. She wants to deal with the detail. Glory to God. But I thank God for my wife. Y'all thank God for yours too, don't you? Amen. Wouldn't it be a boring world if everybody was exactly the same? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, my. I was really going to try to finish this today, but I'm not. But understand something. Maybe I'll finish it next week, but understand something. We are ministers unto God, and we're ministers to one another. Are you listening to me? God's given us a priestly ministry. Jesus is our high priest. God's given us a priestly ministry to minister to one another and to minister to him. Amen?
Amen.
We'll finish this later on. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. Well, before you do, let me speak to the viewing audience. If you are watching us on the live stream and you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, I would like to extend this invitation to you right now to accept him as your Lord and Savior. He died for you. He died on the cross for you because he loves you. And he's ready and willing to forgive you of your sins and to save you right now. All you have to do is invite him in to your life. If you're willing to do that, pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you're the only begotten Son of God. And I believe that you died on the cross so that I could be born again, so that I could have eternal life. Lord Jesus, come into my heart right now. Come into my life right now. I give my life to you. I give myself to you. I invite you to be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me, Lord, for my sins. And help me walk with you every day of my life for the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me and for setting me free. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me and received Jesus Christ into your heart by faith, he came in and you are now born again. You are now a brand new person on the inside. And that's what I've been ministering about, Jesus being on the inside of us. He is now dwelling on the inside of you because you invited him in. And he wants to be a part of your everyday life. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for every person that received Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. Keep them, Lord. Lead them. Guide them every day of their life. Send someone across their path who loves you and who are grounded in your word that can take them and be a blessing to them and help them to grow spiritually. Father, I pray, I don't know where they may be watching from, but I pray, Father, that they find themselves a good church where they can hear the word of God and grow in the things of God. And I thank you for that. I thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. And we would love to hear from you. There'll be information on the screen how you can contact us. Let us know that you gave your life to the Lord. We want to rejoice and praise God right along with you. Amen. Now, if you're sick in your body, again, I'm speaking to the ones that's watching live stream. If you're sick in your body and you say, I just want prayer for the healing of my body. I just want to pray for you right now. In the name of Jesus. And again, I say, in the name of Jesus, I pray for you. And I ask God to touch you wherever you need a touch from him, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, bringing healing and wholeness to your body. And we give you the glory for it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. And we would also like to hear from you as well. Praise God. So glad you joined us for the service today. And we hope you will join us in our next service as well. In the meantime, have yourself a great day.